Bibles, which we all should, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. In this morning, we're going to begin our study by reading three verses in Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to be reading verses 38 through 40. And when you have it, what if you just let me know by saying amen? I don't want to read it until we all have it, but we can read it together as a family. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. Amen. This is what it says. Verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And we'll finish our reading at verse 40. So here in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 38, Matthew tells us that on one occasion, the scribes and the Pharisees, which would have been the religious leaders of Jerusalem, they approached Jesus and they told him these words, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Show us a sign." Now, that statement is interesting because in the Gospels we read up to this point that Jesus was showing and performing many miracles, many signs, and many wonders. Clearly, Jesus was demonstrating the power of God throughout his ministry. And yet we see that the religious leaders, they still didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. The power of God was revealed through Jesus Christ and all the miraculous acts that he performed. And yet, the religious leaders didn't believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And this was the problem. This is why they didn't want to believe. Jesus, he didn't fit their messianic expectations. You see, the religious leaders, they thought that when Messiah came, that he was going to come as a conquering king, riding into Jerusalem on a white horse, freeing them from Roman oppression. But when Jesus came, he didn't come as a conquering king the first time, but he came as a humble servant. He didn't come riding in on a white horse, but he came riding on a donkey. He didn't come to deliver us from Roman oppression, but he came to deliver us from eternal condemnation. And so, because Jesus didn't fit the religious leaders' messianic expectations, they were skeptical. They refused to accept him as their Messiah. And with that attitude, with a skeptical heart, they approached Jesus and they asked him for a sign. "Teacher, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Show us evidence. Show us proof." do something miraculous. Show us a sign. And I find it interesting, in verse 39, look at how Jesus responded or answered. Let's read it again. Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And he says, no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. The sign of the prophet Jonah. That would be the final and the indisputable sign that Jesus would give to the religious leaders, and not only them, but to the entire world. Now, that's a very interesting phrase, the sign of the prophet Jonah, especially for us this morning, because we finished a month-long study through the book of Jonah. And if you recall, Jonah was a prophet of God, and he was called by God to go to Nineveh and to cry out against the city. But if you recall, Jonah, he disobeyed God, and eventually he found himself in the belly of a great fish. And after being in that great fish for 3 days and three nights, we read that he prayed to God. He was brought to a place of brokenness and repentance, and he prayed to God, and God heard his prayer, and God delivered him out of the belly of the fish. And with that in mind, and Jesus would have known without a doubt that the religious leaders that he was speaking to, they would have been familiar with the story of Jonah. It's safe to say that the religious leaders probably would have known the entire book of Jonah by memory. And so with that in the background, with that in mind, Jesus says, okay, you want a sign? I'm going to show you one sign, the sign of the prophet Jonah. And then he says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And this is what Jesus meant by those words. Like Jonah, the Lord, he was going to go in the pit for 3 days and three nights. But like Jonah, his life would be brought up from the pit. And so really, the sign of Jonah that Jesus is making reference to is his resurrection. That was going to be the ultimate sign that he was going to give to the religious leaders, but not only them, but to you and to me and the entire world. And so really, Jonah and his experience in the belly of the great fish, it was a beautiful type of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's so beautiful to think that the entire Bible, old and new, is all about Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me. The scriptures are all about Jesus. And that's what Jesus himself said. And so Jonah, in his experience in the belly of the fish, it was a beautiful shadow or a type pointing forward to the day when the Son of Man would be in the belly or the heart of the earth, but after 3 days, he would come out alive and in victory. And so the Lord tells us that the only sign that would be given is the sign of Jonah, the resurrection. And this morning, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I want to talk about the sign of Jonah. I want to talk about the resurrection. You know, I was eating breakfast this morning with a little brother, and he asked me a question. What are you going to talk about this morning? And I kind of thought it was a little humorous, but I know his question was sincere. And, you know, I know he was speaking out of the heart. And I was kind of tempted to say, I'm going to talk about dating. He was going to get all excited, you know. He's a single brother. But I told him, brother, I'm going to talk about the resurrection. Because that's why we're here this morning, to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what I want us to do this morning. I want us to focus on what exactly the resurrection was a sign of. What did this sign of Jonah, what exactly did it prove? What exactly did it signify, demonstrate, and confirm? You see, a sign is meant to demonstrate, or it's meant to confirm something. There is always a purpose and a message behind a sign. And so it was with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It signified something. It demonstrated and it confirmed something about Jesus to the entire world. The resurrection teaches us more about Jesus than any other miracle or sign or wonder he performed. And this morning, I want to talk about the sign of Jonah, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to look at three things the resurrection confirmed to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to have a very simple, a very basic study, but I hope and pray that it's going to be a blessing for you. This morning, we're going to learn a little bit about the resurrection, what it confirmed, and why is it so important. You know, it really kind of saddens me to think that this morning, millions and millions of people will gather in a church building to celebrate the resurrection, but probably a large percentage of those people don't understand the significance of the resurrection. A lot of people will come just to come, just for they can kind of feel like they fulfilled an obligation. But the truth is, some come and they don't understand the importance. They don't understand what the resurrection tells me and tells you. And this morning, I want to share with you three things about the resurrection and what exactly it confirmed. And so, if you're taking notes, and I pray and hope you are, it's very healthy and very helpful to take notes as we come to church. The first thing I want to share is this. The resurrection confirmed the identity of Christ. The resurrection confirmed the identity of Christ. The resurrection, in simplest terms, confirmed that Jesus of Nazareth was who he claimed to be the Son of God, God Almighty, God in the flesh. Look at what Romans chapter 1 verse 4 declares. Paul says, Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And so Paul tells us that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection. His resurrection demonstrated and confirmed that truly he was God in the flesh. It's so important that we understand that Jesus, he's not merely a miracle worker, as some say he is. Or he's not merely a good moral teacher, a philosopher that had good ideas. Or he's not simply a great man, but he is the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior, God Almighty in the flesh. And his resurrection was the indisputable sign which confirmed to the entire world that Jesus was who he claimed to be, God Almighty in the flesh, the God-man, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You know, in John chapter 2, we read that the religious leaders, they came to Jesus and they asked him for a sign. You see, Jesus, he was cleansing the temple from the money changers and the vendors. And the religious leaders, they got pretty upset that Jesus was doing that. And so they confronted Jesus, and this is what they asked him or told him. They said, what sign do you show us since you do these things? In other words, this is what they told Jesus. You're cleaning the temple. You're running out all the money changers and the vendors. Okay, give us a sign that shows us that you have the authority to do that. Who's giving you the authority? What authority do you have that you think you can come and act this way in the house of God? Show us a sign. Prove to us that you have this authority. And Jesus responded, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. That would be the sign. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Now, as you continue to read John, he gives us the interpretation of what Jesus meant. And John tells us that Jesus was not talking about the physical temple, but Jesus was talking about the temple of his body. Jesus' body would be bruised, it would be beaten, it would be crucified, and ultimately it would be destroyed. But after 3 days, he would raise it up again. And that would be the ultimate sign. You want a sign? I'm going to rise from the dead. That is going to be the sign. And that's going to confirm my identity and my authority. And so the first thing we see of the resurrection is that it confirmed the identity of Christ. The resurrection proves that Jesus is God. In simplest terms, the resurrection tells me and tells you that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, Jesus, he gave many signs to confirm his identity throughout his ministry. He performed miracles. He lived a sinless, holy life. He fulfilled countless prophecies in the Old Testament. And so there's many proofs or evidences attesting that Jesus is the Son of God. But the ultimate sign that was given was his resurrection from the dead. That was the ultimate proof, the ultimate evidence that he was who he claimed to be. And because Jesus rose from the dead, you and me can have all the assurance that our faith is true, that it's reliable, and it's trustworthy. Because Jesus did what he said he was going to do. And I find so much comfort in that. Because as you all know, there's many religions out there. There's many teachings and scriptures and followers of various religions. But I find so much comfort in knowing that my religion is truth. That my religion is true and it rests on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It rests on the resurrection of the Son of God. Jesus did what no man had ever done before him, and what no man will ever do after him without him. He rose from the dead. And family, that puts Jesus in a class of his own. No one did what Jesus did. Look it up. Do your homework. Muhammad's dead. You can visit his grave to this day. Buddha's dead. Gandhi's dead. Plato's dead. Socrates is dead. Nietzsche is dead. Alexander the Great, the Grecian king who conquered the entire known world in 12 years. Alexander the Great, he's dead. Napoleon is dead. Hitler is dead. The list goes on and on, but Jesus is alive. Amen. And that puts him in a category of his own. Jesus is alive. That's what distinguishes Jesus from everyone else. And our faith rests on the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. It confirmed his identity. And that's why I would encourage you, whenever you're in doubt, whenever you come across someone who begins to question your faith or who begins to question your beliefs, I would encourage you to run to the resurrection. That is the defense of the Christian faith. That's not the only defense, but that's one of the strongest defense. Run to the resurrection, because to this day, skeptics have not been able to explain it away. And they never will, because he's alive. He's alive. They never will. They will never have an answer for the resurrection. For truly, he rose from the dead. And that confirmed his identity. Jesus is God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then let's look at the second point. And the second thing the resurrection confirmed, first, it confirmed the identity of Christ. Secondly, it confirmed the sacrifice of Christ. It confirmed the sacrifice of Christ. The resurrection confirmed that the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross was accepted and approved by God the Father. I want to read a verse for you quickly. And the verse is found in Romans chapter 4, verse 25. And this is what Paul tells us. Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our justification. And so we can have complete confidence that God the Father accepted and approved the redemptive work of his Son on the cross because of the resurrection. By God raising Jesus up from the dead, in essence, this is what he was doing. He was giving his stamp of approval on Jesus' sacrifice. It was as if the Father said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I am pleased. I accept your sacrifice. I approve this sacrifice. I accept it on behalf of the world. I accept your sacrifice. Well done, good and faithful servant." The resurrection confirms that the sacrifice was accepted by God. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you got to excuse me, I'm hitting this wire and it's driving me crazy up here. Excuse me. I don't know. I'm not going to ever wear a suit again. I think that's the problem. I think it's hitting the wire. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 through 17, Paul tells us that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, Paul tells us that our faith would be empty and futile, that we would still be in our sins, and we would be of all men most pitiable. If Jesus never rose from the dead, we would still be in our sins. Without the resurrection, there wouldn't be no Christianity. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you would not be here this morning. No church, no salvation, no forgiveness, no justification, no sanctification, no glorification, no hope, nothing. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, think of this. He wouldn't be able to save anybody because a dead Savior can't save anybody. What good can a dead Savior do for you? What good? What good can a dead Savior do for me? How can he save me if he couldn't even have saved himself? And so, if there was no resurrection, there would be no gospel. There would be no salvation. The gospel would not be good news if Christ stayed in the tomb. The gospel would be incomplete. It would be ineffective, and it really wouldn't be good news. However, Christ didn't stay in the tomb. Amen? But he rose from the dead. and by God raising up Jesus from the dead, he was declaring to the entire world that the work of his son on the cross was accepted by him. The sacrifice was accepted. The sacrifice was approved by God. Amen. The sacrifice was sufficient. It was accepted and it was well pleasing to the Father. And this is the good news. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have complete confidence that through faith in Jesus, we will be accepted by God. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Because of what Jesus did at the cross and because what he did at the tomb, we are able to receive salvation through his name. That is the gospel. Look at what Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 43. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, through the name of Jesus, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, through Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You and your household. Over and over, the Bible teaches us that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And God has confirmed that to us by raising his son from the dead. Salvation will always be through Jesus. I like to look at it like this. The road to heaven will always go through Jesus Christ. There's always going to be one road, and that road will always be Jesus. How do I know that? Because God raised him from the dead. Because God accepted the sacrifice. And by doing that, God is telling you and telling me, it will always be through my son. That is the only sacrifice that I will accept, that I will receive. A holy, blameless, undefiled, sinless sacrifice. That is the only one I will receive. And the road to heaven will always go through Jesus. And we can rest assured of that. That salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. It will always go through Jesus. And God assured that and confirmed it by raising him up from the dead. And on that great day, when I stand before God, and that's something I think about often, I'll be honest with you, I can rest assured that I'm going to be accepted by God and I'm going to be allowed entrance into his heaven because the resurrected Christ, the living Christ, my Savior, my mediator, my advocate, my redeemer, he's going to be sitting next to God, making intercession for me. And as I stand before God and as I see my mediator, I can rest assured that I'm going to be accepted by God and that I'm going to be allowed entrance into his heaven. And not because of what I did, but because of what my Savior did. And that's the assurance that I have. Jesus was raised from the dead, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. And our mediator will keep us, sustain us, and on that great day will allow us entrance into his kingdom. And the resurrection confirms that. The resurrection, without a doubt, assures me and you that the sacrifice, it was accepted. And now, through that sacrifice, I can be reconciled to God. That at one moment in time, there was a separation. There was a wall keeping me from fellowshipping with God. And that wall was my sin. My sinful nature. And yet Jesus came. He went to the cross. He conquered the grave. And he removed the wall of separation. Now I have access to God. But the access is through Jesus Christ. If you try to go any other way, you're not going to make it. Straight up. You're not going to make it. If you try to go any other way, and people do all the time. People think, well, if I just do good works, or if I light enough candles, or if I say enough prayers, or if I donate enough money, I'm going to be accepted. I'm going to have access to God. But the truth is, all those works in the sight of God are like filthy rags. You on your best day and me on my best day is like filth in the sight of God. And that's why Jesus came. Because we couldn't make it on our own. There was nothing we could have done to be accepted by God. And yet Jesus came. He took our place. And as we put our faith and trust in him, he clothes us with his righteousness. He forgives our sins and we find acceptance in the sight of God. And I don't know about you, friend, but on that day when I stand before God face to face, I want to be accepted. I want to be received into the kingdom and not rejected out of the kingdom. And this morning, I have assurance. This morning, I have confidence that I will be accepted because my Savior, he didn't stay in the tomb, but he rose from the dead. Amen. How many say, you know what, Adam, I got that insurance. This morning also with you. Amen. The resurrection. Nothing like it. Let's finish up. We got about a few more minutes. And I just want to end with the third point concerning the resurrection. First, the resurrection confirmed the identity of Christ. Secondly, the resurrection confirmed the sacrifice of Christ. And thirdly, to end, I want to mention this. the resurrection confirmed the living hope in Christ. The resurrection confirmed the living hope in Christ. The resurrection confirms that Jesus Christ is truly able to offer and provide living hope to a hopeless world. You know what the resurrection tells us? That there's hope. That's what the resurrection shares with us. That there's hope even in the midst of a hopeless world. Even in the midst of a hopeless situation. Even when we feel that all hope is lost, the resurrection tells you and tells me that there's hope. And that hope is found in Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us," or He has birthed us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter is simply telling us that God the Father has brought us into a living hope through the resurrection of His Son from the dead. Because Jesus rose from the dead, man, we have hope. We have a living hope, even in the midst of a hopeless world. There's hope, and that hope is found in Jesus. That hope is found in the resurrected Savior. Now, really, and this is how I want to end by sharing this, really, we have two types of hope, you might say. Two categories of hope. First, we have a future hope. A future hope. In other words, our future is bright in Jesus Christ. How many of you know that? That you have a bright future in Christ. You know, when I was studying, when I was in school, I had a professor, and every time he would have class, he used to always end by doing the strangest thing, but it had a strong message. He would put a pair of sunglasses on, and he would say, "I just want to end by sharing with you that your future is bright in Jesus." And at first, I kind of thought that was a little strange that he did that. You know, he was kind of a strange little professor. Turned out to be like my best friend. But, you know, but then I began to realize what he was trying to teach us. Our future is bright in Jesus. It only gets better. How many of you know that? How many can say amen to that? Because sometimes in life, it doesn't get better. It gets worse. The body gets old. The body gets weak. The hair starts changing colors. The hair starts falling off. The figure starts getting a little rounder than it should. And sometimes we feel and we sense it's not getting better. It's getting worse. Why can't I move and look like I did in high school? You know, a couple of days I was at the park playing softball, and I couldn't get up the next day. I was thinking, man, what happened? I'm barely 27, and I couldn't even move. But it's so beautiful and comforting to know that as Christians in Christ, it gets better. The future is bright in Jesus. And that's what the resurrection confirms. One day, Jesus will raise up our bodies from the grave. One day, He's going to give us a new, incorruptible, immortal, glorious body. How many of you know that the grave is not the end of the story? But there will be a resurrection. There's life after death. There is life after death. How do I know? Because Jesus rose from the dead. And he told me, I'm coming back for you. So be ready. I'm going to come get you. So be ready. Because there is life after death. Jesus took the sting out of death. Jesus, he conquered the grave. Jesus himself tells us in Revelations chapter 1 that he possesses the keys of Hades and death. He took the sting out of death. He took victory out of Hades, out of hell itself, and death is no longer something we have to fear. As Christians, our future is bright in Jesus. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear the grave because Jesus took the fear out of death. When he walked out of that tomb, the fear of death walked out of our lives. And the resurrection confirms that. And the resurrection tells me and tells you we have a bright future. Man, you have something to look forward to. Something to look forward to. Something good. Something glorious. Something special. Soon, you will be with the Lord. Man, that's living hope. Think about it like this, and I always tell this to my students. Today is the farthest you will be from the Lord. Today. That's the farthest you're going to be from heaven. Because tomorrow, you're going to be one step closer. In a year from now, you're going to be that much closer. Until eventually, you're going to be with the Lord. That's a glorious future. That is a bright future. And we can rest assured of it because Jesus rose from the dead. And so the resurrection, it confirms a future hope. But I want to end by saying this. Not only a future hope, but also a present hope. How many of you know that there's hope for today because Jesus is alive? There's hope for today because Jesus is alive. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I hear that. It's a celebration to think of that. There's hope for today. There's hope for your life, for your family. There's hope for your situation because Jesus is alive. He's the resurrected Christ. He's seated at the right hand of God, interceding, ready, willing, and able to bring the much needed help and hope that we need today in our lives. Jesus, he's alive. Jesus is active today. How many of you know that? Jesus is alive and active. He's able to heal marriages. He's able to deliver from addictions. He's able to provide strength. He's able to grant rest. He's able to supply grace. He's able to offer guidance. He's able to pour out blessings. He's able to forgive sins. He's able to produce purpose. He's able to cure the brokenhearted. He's able to restore the backslidden. He's able to make well the sick. He's able to impart satisfaction. And he's able to bring hope. Jesus is alive and active. And as long as you are alive, as long as there's
air in your lungs, and as long as you are alive, there's hope because Jesus is alive. There's always hope. There's always hope. There's always hope for a lost family member because Jesus is alive. There's always hope for a sick loved one because Jesus is alive. There's always hope for my life, for my situation, because my Savior is alive and active. And the resurrection confirms that. The resurrection confirms that we have a future hope, but we also have a present hope. And this morning, Jesus is alive and active, and He wants to bring hope to your life. And all you have to do is allow Him to. That's all you have to do. He's knocking on the door, and all you have to do is open the door. And I promise you, He will bring what you are looking for. Because He is alive, He is active, and He is the Savior who came to seek and save the lost. The resurrected Christ. And this morning, we remember and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The sign of the prophet Jonah. What did the sign demonstrate? What did the sign confirm? First, the identity of Christ. Jesus is who we claim to be, the Son of God. Secondly, it confirmed the sacrifice of Christ. Jesus' sacrifice was accepted by the Father, and now through faith in Him, we can be accepted by the Father. And thirdly, it confirmed the living hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is alive, there is always hope. And I would encourage you, don't ever be defeated. Don't ever give in. Don't ever give up. Because our Savior is alive and well, and all things are possible through Him. Amen. Let's pray to dismiss.